Come, let us wipe out Israel as a nation. We will destroy the very memory of its existence. Are we hearing that today? I mean, is the Iranian president and the Muslim people over there absolutely saying that on national television? I've heard them myself. I've heard that president of Iran make that statement when he was in front of the UN the other day. He spent the first 15 minutes talking about his God, Allah, and nobody said a word. Not a word. And then after talking about his God, he believes he's the man that's been sent by Allah to annihilate Israel. And he said, we are going to annihilate Israel and they will be no more. Right there in the UN. I listened to his speech. I heard him say it myself. And the Bible's, I thought about this Psalms 83. Come, they say, let us wipe out Israel as a nation. I mean, you'd think he'd read the Bible. We will destroy the very memory of its existence. Wow. 5 and 6. This was their unanimous decision. They signed a treaty as allies against you. Who is against Israel right now? The whole world. Nobody is standing up for Israel. I mean, the whole world is against this little tiny postage stamp over there of Israel. It's amazing. These Edomites and Ishmaelites, Moabites and Hadgrites, and seven, Gerberites, Amorites and Amalekites, and people from Philistia and Tyre, Assyria has joined them too, and is allied with the descendants of Lot. 9 and 10. Do to them as you did to the Midianites, or as you did to Syria and Jabin at the Kabush River. They were destroyed at Endor, and their decaying corpses fertilized the soil. Let their mighty nobles die as Orb and Zeeb did. Let all their princesses die like Zebul and Zebulun. Those guys were high positions, generals, kings, whatever. And when they were taken by Israel, they cut these guys' heads off. I mean, I went back and read the scripture. It talks about it in the scriptures. I looked them up. I read everything it said about those guys, all four of them. Man, it's awful how they died because they come against Israel. So God was with Israel and they annihilated his men. For they said, let us seize for our own use these pasture lands of God. That's what they want today. They want Israel. Verse 13 and 14. Oh my God, blow them away like whirling dust, like chaff before the wind. As a fire roars through a forest and as a flame sets mountains ablaze. 15 and 16. Chase them with your fierce storms. Terrify them with your tempest. Utterly disgrace them until they submit to your name, O Lord. Verse 17 and 18. Let them be ashamed and terrified forever. Make them failures in everything they do until they learn that you alone are called the Lord, that you alone are the Most High, supreme over all the earth. Now, you reckon because that prayer was prayed a long time ago, that prayer will be fulfilled in the future? Amen. Yeah, it will be. That will be fulfilled. Here a while back when we studied Obadiah, that one little chapter of the book of Obadiah, the land of Edom and Esau, God said, you can make your nest in the heavens and I'll find you. He said, I will annihilate every one of you because you was not good to your brothers Israel. I will totally annihilate you because you were not good to Israel. Well, let me tell you, the church needs to never forget we need to be good to Israel. You know, I mean, wow. We need to bless them, help them, do anything we can. Now then, let's go to Ephesians chapter 5 and 6. We're going to take up where we left off last week. But in Ephesians 3 and 4 last week, we were learning about what Paul was teaching us about how we should live as Christians. And when I look at this and I look at our president, which says he's a Christian, I don't see anything in here that he's doing that meets any of the criteria so far. Not a single thing. And God himself says in his word, if people say they know me, and they don't obey me, he said, they're a liar and the truth is not in them. That God said that. So God says anybody, not just Obama, he says you or anybody else that says they know me and does not obey me, they're a liar and the truth's not in them. And of course, we got so many people. In fact, I was sitting down having a sandwich yesterday, and a woman happened to be in that little old restaurant, and I was sitting there eating, and all of a sudden she said, you're Thurman Scrivener, aren't you? I said, yes, ma'am. I looked over at her, and I said, ma'am, I don't believe I know you. And she called her first name, and when she did, I said, oh, my goodness. I got up, and I went over there, and I said, okay, you were this lady, and I called her name, you know, when we were in high school, because I was in high school with this girl. And I called her name, and I said, that's your name. She said, yeah, 3 or 4 marriages ago. I thought, oh, my lands, a dead spiritual woman, 3 or 4 marriages ago. And then she mentioned a friend of ours, a mutual friend. She said, how old are you now, Thurman? I said, well, I'm 70. I'll be 71 in December. She said, well, I'm a little older than you. I'm going to be 71 this month. I said, oh, okay. She said, you remember a certain friend of ours? I said, yes. She said, he told me he would never live to be as old as I was, because said he was 2 or 3 months younger than me also. And he always used to kid me, saying, I'll never be as old as you are. I said, and you notice that guy died at 55 too, don't you? She said, well, yes, how sad it was that he died at 55. And I said, let me tell you what, I come to his funeral. And when I went home that day, I asked God for 3 hours why that man died. Because I'd come down a few days before and I'd spent a whole day praying over him, teaching him the Word of God. Of course, he's already got these brain tumors all in his brain. They'd already done surgery on him and said they couldn't get them all. And the doctor had said, if God don't intervene, this man's going to die. Well, see, back in those days, I didn't know the reason he's sick is because God had already intervened to kill him. And when I went down, it was too late. I couldn't get through to him, although I prayed for him. But I did that on Monday, but on Thursday he died, and Sunday they buried him. Well, on the way home, he was 55. I was 55 then. God was the same age he was. I'm driving back home. I said, God, I got to know why your healing power didn't work for this man. I said, I have prayed for many a man and saw him get healed. And I said, I did everything for him. I'd done for these others, but I said, he didn't get healed. I said, so Lord, did I do something wrong? Did I have a sin in my life? Or did he have a sin that we couldn't get confessed? Or what's wrong, Lord? I don't want to have this mistake again. I hate to see people die, especially at 55. And I said, Lord, thank you for the answer. And I'd wait a few minutes and nothing. And so I'd go through that same scenario. I did that for 3 hours. I was almost back home when I heard the Lord say, son, you didn't do anything wrong. The problem was his. And you'll find your answer in John 15:2. Well, at that time, I didn't know what John 15:2 said. But we might flip over there, Dave, right quick to John 15:2. Now, see, the story, when I went down there, he had met and married a third wife. He'd been married 3 times. And he was a Sunday school teacher, a youth leader in the church, everything. But when he married her, she didn't believe in going to church. So upon her request, they stopped going to church. So they hadn't been in church but 4 or 5 times in 10 years since they'd been married. So this is what killed him. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. You know, you don't like to read it like this, but every branch that does not bear fruit, I kill it. I cut it off. I take it away. Somebody said, I don't like that word when you say God kills. God uses that word kills in his own word. And Deuteronomy 32:39, I want you to read Deuteronomy 32:39. How many branches in him that bears not fruit does he take away? All of them. You want to live a long life? If you're in Christ, you better get to work. Is that right? You better do something for the king, or you ain't going to like what comes upon you. Every branch. He says, see now, even I am he, and there is no God with me. I kill. Somebody said, I just can't believe God would do that. Well, if it's written in the book, I don't know nothing else to say except God put it in there. He must have meant it, right? I kill. He's responsible for everything. I kill, I make alive, I wound, I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver me out of my hands. So if you get killed, who's responsible for killing you? God. If you... Yeah, well, no, God's behind it. Oh, it's your fault. Yeah, you're the one that did something, but he's the one that pulled the plug. Yeah, he's the one that controls everything on this earth. Everything. That's just like this last week, my son, which is 32 years old, 32, 33, whatever he is. I can't remember anymore. I met him and his wife going out up here. I said, where are you going, son? He said, we're going to a funeral. I said, oh, who died? He said, one of my friends. I said, how old was he? 23. I said, what happened? Yeah, he said, he was on a lot of different medication. He had several little things wrong with him. Now, see, I didn't know the boy, but I automatically can tell you, a 23-year-old young man that's on several different medications, he's involved in many different kinds of sin. God is trying to get his attention, and he ain't listening. So I think it was Saturday night, he goes out, and he has a party, and he drinks a whole bunch of alcohol. And the alcohol, it clearly says on the bottles of medicine he's taking, do not mix with alcohol. And he didn't read the instructions or he didn't listen, so he drank the alcohol and it killed him, punched him out, and he died. 23. Isn't that awful? But here a while back, a good friend of mine, the couple that I used to know, my daughter used to babysit their children when they were babies. Their 18-year-old son died, overdose of drugs. 18. What happened? Oh, mom and daddy got a divorce. Mama found another man. Instead of staying with the husband she had and being pleased and doing what God says, being in church like they're supposed to be, when she run off with another man and then they got a divorce and then the kids, guess what happened to the kids?
We are going to stop for today, but we will continue with the teaching tomorrow. If you would like to have this or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching in its entirety on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send it to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.